Blog Talk Radio.
I want a heart that forgets, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love, like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgets, lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again, one that men can't offend because your word is thin, one that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. Want a love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgets when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurt. Want a heart that forgets when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemy. Want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want to walk like you, talk like, just like you did. Want to be like you, live like you, just like you did. 'Cause a heart that forgives is a heart that will live totally free from the pain of the past, and the heart that lets go is the heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hallelujah.
God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been hard. What to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I'm so blessed to welcome you all here to another edition of Daughters of Naomi for this Wednesday, November 9th, 2022. And tonight, I'm blessed to be joined by two of our anointed servant leaders here at Spirit Alive in the persons of Minister Tina Brown and Minister Adam Tuggle. I'm just so blessed that they're in the house. Tonight's program is entitled No Excuse for Abuse. And this is the second part of our Family Domestic Violence Awareness Training. Hallelujah. But before we get into the spiritual sauce of the matter, I am going to ask Minister Tina Brown to open us in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this evening, just giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for another evening you've given us to be able to learn about your word, learn from the message that we're about to receive. Thank you for lifting up the messenger, Apostle Cook, for the message that she'll be delivering us tonight. May it touch our hearts and souls. May it make us want to walk better and more close to you, Heavenly Father, and want to know your son, Jesus, Heavenly Father. We ask and we pray all these things in your name. To all that are listening, may they have ears to hear and open their hearts, body, and soul. Amen.
Amen and amen. Glory to God. All right. Our program tonight, last time that we had gathered together, we were dealing with abuse and family violence, and we focused mostly on the men, and we found out that abuse can be, and most times is, against women and children, but we're also finding that men also suffer abuse, and that's where we're going to put some of our focus on tonight. And in any case, abuse can be emotional, it can be physical, psychological, or financial, or it can be a combination of them all. But all of these are all outward symptoms of a much graver situation going on that is always spiritual. You see, the abuser lacks a loving spiritual relationship and connection to God, along with they lack the wisdom and understanding of his word. But you see, we here at Spirit Alive, we believe that in order for us to understand the family pathology, of domestic and family violence, we have to be willing to have dialogues about it. Oh yeah, we have to talk about violence, power, gender, marriage, and all of the family pathologies associated with those things. Now, in the Bible, as we found out last time, for some of you and some of us know, that in the Bible, all violence is considered an offense against God and against humanity. Scripture is full of condemnation of violence. Time and again, violence is associated with wickedness and condemned as detestable to the Lord, as declared and decreed in Psalm 11 and Proverbs 3, chapter 3, and chapter 10. Now, although we never see the word abuse in the Bible, the term oppression, which means crushing or burdening someone by abuse of power or authority, oh, that's everywhere. You see, the book of Psalms in particular portrays oppression in a manner that echoes the way an abuse survivor might describe their abuser. In Psalm 10, the word of God declares, his mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. The word of God declares that God is on the side of the oppressed and the abused in Psalm 56. And the scriptures clearly expresses God's desire for dramatic transformation of a society for those who are burdened, marginalized, or unjustly treated. Now, you can read all about that in Luke chapter 4, 18 through 21, Proverbs 14, verse 31, Matthew 9, verse 13, and Mark chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. And see, if we want to have any, if we want any kind of example, we only need to look to Jesus. And Jesus refuses to play by the rules of violence and power. That was declared and decreed in Isaiah 42 and 3. And then again in Matthew 26 and 52. And then again in Mark 10, chapter verses 41 through 45. Huh. This new revolution, modeled by Jesus himself, said that the powerful should give up their privilege to the vulnerable. In other words, the abuser should stop using violence against those powerless to resist. And he also calls on institutions that should be aware of these situations to stop ignoring the trauma of the abuse survivor. You see, the way Jesus calls us to a relationship is a relationship of love, of nonviolence and peace. We are to resist using violence, even in retaliation for violence used against us. That's what Dr. Luke told us in chapter 6, verse 29. Now, this does not mean a capitulation to the inevitable of violence, but the promise of a day when those who continue to pursue violence will be dealt with. You don't believe me? Read Romans 12:17 through 19, or Revelation 22, verses 12 through 15. But when you think, so when we think about victims of domestic violence, the first image that comes to mind usually is a woman with black eyes or bruises all up and down her arms. And when we think about batterers, we usually imagine an intimidating-looking man with balled-up fists ready to strike at the slightest provocation. Now, these can be pegged as stereotypes, but unfortunately, these images often paint a true picture because women are far more likely to be victims of abuse, while men are most likely to be the abusers. But sometimes the tables are turned. And when they are, female abusers often have different intentions, reasons, and tactics than their male counterparts. And that's what we're going to be discussing tonight. So what is abuse? Abuse is a pattern of controlling behavior. You see, abuse in intimate relationships is a pattern or a behavior where one partner dominates, belittles, or humiliates the other partner over months and years. In other words, abuse is never about who's stronger. No, it's always about power and control. It's never about strength. It's always about power and control. So, you know, abuse by men by their partners happens when the partner uses emotional, physical, sexual, or intimidation tactics. Okay? Now, men often use physical abuse and their words. But a woman, she is a little more sneaky with it. She does it to control the man. She wants to get her way or to keep a man from leaving a relationship. And an abused man is always adapting his behavior to do what his partner wants in order to prevent going through these headaches, these heartaches, these changes. So the primary motive for abuse is to establish and maintain power and control over your partner, whether it be male or female. Now, abuse in an intimate relationship I hate to tell you this, is usually not an insulated or isolated incident. See, abuse happens over time. Typically, if abuse is allowed to continue, it becomes more frequent and more severe. But I need for every one of you out there to hear me tonight. Abuse is always, always a choice. I don't care what your background is, what your experience may be. If you are an abuser, you must take responsibility and accountability for your actions. No one has the right to abuse someone else, and no one deserves to be abused. Now, there are four kinds of abuse, as we found out last time we were together. And often when people think about abuse, they think about emotional abuse, physical abuse, or sexual abuse. But abuse may also include intimidation tactics. So let me just run over for the sake of review. Emotional abuse tactics can happen without other abuse tactics being involved. But when other abuses happen, emotional abuse is almost always present. Now, some men say it's harder to deal with emotional abuse than physical abuse, and so do women. Now, emotional abuse can include put-downs, insults, or when one partner humiliates their partner in public or in front of the kids, or they blame one another, or they lie on one another. Emotional abuse includes controlling finances. That's when you withhold financial information is being withheld from the partner, or money is being stolen from the other partner, or the partner is making financial decisions that it will affect the rest of the family without telling their partners. Also, abusers will isolate their partners and restrict their freedom. They might isolate their partners from family and friends, and this is in male, whether they be male abusers or females. They treat their partner like a servant. They may monitor the phone calls. They will try to restrict the ability to get around. And they will try to control information or participation in organizations or groups, including church, that where one might get the support or the help or the resources that they might find. Then there's spiritual abuse. And that's when, first of all, if a man is the head of the household and he is not leading his family in the ways of God, that's spiritual abuse. When the beliefs of your partner is being ridiculed or being insulted, that's spiritual abuse. When the partner makes it hard for the other partner to go and be at church and be amongst the brethren, that's spiritual abuse. Then there are physical abuse tactics, and they include activities that bring physical pain and injury. That includes shoving, slapping, hitting, kicking, biting, throwing things, using weapons, or it's when you intentionally interfere with the basic daily requirements of food, shelter, and sleep. Now, I know most of us know that we do not physically abuse our partners. But however, recent reports shows that it does happen more often than we like to think. And in many of the surveys, at least here, I would say in the past 10 or 20 years, out of all surveys that were done on abuse, at least 7% of women and 6% of men said that they had been abused by their partners within the past 5 years. Now, women who are abused are more likely to be sexually assaulted, beaten, choked, or threatened with a weapon. Men who are abused are more likely to be slapped, kicked, bitten, or hit, or have something thrown at them. 19% of men abused by their partners say that the violence did indeed cause physical injury. And 10% said they even feared for their lives. Now, there's also a thing called sexual abuse tactics, and this uses force or pressure to get their way, or to get their partner to do things they don't want to do. Sometimes it can include ridiculing or criticizing their performance, or it could include withholding one's affection to punish the other partner for to show them how upset they are, or how displeasing they are. And then there are intimidation tactics, whether you be male or female. And intimidation tactics are any words or actions that the abusive partner uses to scare the other partner. For example, they destroy property. They can throw or smash things. They will trash clothes or the possessions of their partner. They might destroy keepsakes. They could break windows or furniture. Uh-huh. Yes, sisters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you think, well, I just threw an ashtray at him. Well, guess what? That's an intimidation tactic. Other forms of intimidation tactics, the abuser will threaten. They will threaten to harm or kill their partner. They will threaten to harm or kill themselves, the children, the family, the friends, or the pets. Or they will threaten to lie to the authority, or to get the child protective services in custody to gain an upper hand on a legal status. Some abusers, especially females, love to stalk or harass. You know, they like to follow the man after they've been separated. They might show up at the workplace. They may go to the house or the park around the corner from their house. They might continue to phone and mail repeatedly, or send phone or emails to friends and colleagues. And when you're talking about being in abusive relationships, whether you are male or female, we need to understand that a man or woman may stay in an abusive relationship because they feel afraid or guilty. They may feel financially insecure. They may feel a sense of obligation. They might want to honor their religious convictions. They're just hoping that they can redeem the relationship. But there are some things that's really, really a stickler with men. You know, men are, you know, they're supposed to be men. But because of what society attitude is towards men, it makes it harder for men to come forward and to step up and to speak out and say, yes, this is actually happening to me. But our society is beginning to recognize and study the abuse of men by their partners. You know, men, because of the beliefs, men who are abused by female partners might not, like I said, they might not want to admit it. They might not want to tell anyone. And additionally, when men might go to professionals like the police or counselors, they find that a lot of times they're not taken very seriously. So as a result, a man in an abusive relationship might be afraid to tell anybody. They might be depressed or humiliated. He might be afraid that he has failed. He might feel guilty about leaving the wife. He might be confused because sometimes she acts so loving and kind, and other times she acts like the devil is literally in her. So there's a lot of things that can go on. But I want you to know, whether you male or female and you are being abused, and if you are in a place to help those who are being abused, you need to remember this. Changing or leaving an abusive relationship is a process and not an event. You see, it takes time to realize that a relationship is abusive. It takes time to admit, it might take time to admit that a person that you love or someone that you thought loved you to be willing to say or do things that harm you. It might take time to find out if it's possible to turn that thing around. And if there's children involved, it may take time to figure out how to create a healthy and stable and loving environment or a loving, healthy exit. It can be messy and slow to realize when you are, or you know, when you need to change or leave an abusive relationship. But God has an order for his family. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. But you see, when relationships are out of order, when abuse on either side, whether it be the mother or the father, guess what? The children are the real casualties of war. See, what we need to understand when we're dealing with people that are dealing with abuse trauma, when we are talking to abusers, when we are talking to children, we have to remember a few things. When children are played, when you have an unhealthy family pathology, it will harm your children not only in the present, but it will harm them in the future. See, some of the mistakes a lot of people who are abused make, if they're, you know, is they believe, they think, you know, people are being abused. They think their children don't know about the abuse, or that they're being harmed. But I need for you to know that when there are fighting parents, children are always harmed, even if they're not personally being abused. You know that being exposed to anger and violence actually affects a child's brain development? Brain scans show that children in abusive environments use much of their brain watching out for danger, and less of their brain is now available for healthy growth and development. Now, this will affect their physical, emotional, and mental development. It affects their ability to form healthy relationships. It affects them even when children are not consciously aware of the abuse in their home. But when a child is in a threatening environment over time, such as in a home where the adults are abusive, systems in the child's brain begin to undergo changes. And these changes can result in emotional, behavioral, intellectual, and physical symptoms. And they can show some of them or all of them. But in any case, there is a whole lot of trauma drama going on. Because all children in threatening environments are affected by fear. So when there is a home that's filled with bickering and arguing and fighting and throwing things, that child is going to feel anxious or panicky. And they have even said that babies that are in homes where there's a lot of chaos going on, they have faster heart rates, even when they're asleep. Or there's some children that internalize it by being very watchful and attentive all the time, as if they're waiting for that shoe to drop. And because their brains are distracted by fear, they might find it hard to concentrate or to pay attention. They might have difficulty sleeping, have difficulty learning. Children in a threatening environment use different ways to cope. Some children react by becoming more aggressive. They become defiant. They act impulsive. They have angry outbursts. They can act bossy or pushy, or they can be bullies or hurt others. Hurt people. Sometimes some of these bullies, you know, it looks like they're loud and they're not affecting it by anything. And they look like, or they sound like, they might be confident and in charge But really, their aggressive behaviors are growing out of that fear, and it's expressed outwardly by anger. Now, some children react by becoming quiet and withdrawn, and I'm telling you this because as a servant leaders, you should be paying attention to the people that are around you. So if you see a child that, you know, that they're always trying to be invisible, they're trying to stay out of harm's way, or you see a child that's always in their own fantasy world, or if you see that child that's always trying to please, they're trying to be obedient, and they're even passive with other children. Some of them might internalize it by being numb or disconnected from their feelings. They have a hard time getting along with other people, or sometimes they're just depressed. You know, sometimes the quiet kids, they look like they're not being affected by what's going on, but that unaffected appearance is also a danger sign. Because in the face of fear and feeling helpless, they have disconnected from their environment. Now, you begin to see a pattern in homes where, first of all, you have often heard me say that children have been having children for many decades now. So a lot of times we have a lot of single mothers, and the father goes on their way, but what you have done is set the mother of your child up to open not only herself up, but your child up to violence and abuse. When you don't stand, man of God, and take your rightful place, when you don't stand, young man, and be the father that apparently you're now called to be, when you are not allowing God to prepare you, then these types of behaviors can come up in relationships. But churches, we've got to stop looking the other way. We've got to get up in those pulpits, and we've got to start talking to the victims, and we have to start talking to the perpetrators, whether they be male, female, or children. Because all you have to do, every time you turn on the TV today, we see the result of what violence begets. It begets more violence. And then we have the nerve to get all upset with the teens today because they are so violent. I got a report today because one of my sisters in Christ knew I was going to do this program. And yesterday here in the city where we talk about the attitudes of governing bodies, yesterday a little boy came to school and said he had a gun and he was going to shoot up the whole school. So my little niece called her mom, my sister, and she went up to the school and got her daughter. Now, when she got there, the police were there. Everybody was there. But because this child is the son of one of the prominent people here in town, the incident was not even reported on the local news. Now, that angers me, because had that child's name been Tyrone instead of Christopher, not only would that situation have played out differently, we would have known about it. Now, this is not a question of how society plays out violence within the races necessarily, but it's more to the fact is that for every violent situation that we see, there are at least 15 more that we don't. So we have to be praying for families. We have to be helping cultivate the families, helping young mothers become godly women, helping young women become godly women, helping young men become men of valor. We have to go back and help them to hit the reset button. We just can't turn our heads. And I'm going to tell you this too, because see, we got a lot of men that love to call themselves apostles, but yet they can go home and still slap their wives. They can still go home and withhold finances. They can still go home and be controlling. So, you see, we can't turn a blind eye, whether it's the Pope or the preacher. We cannot continue to tolerate violence. We cannot continue to just idly sit by and pray not and say nothing. So I'm going to come back. I want my brother and sister to be able to jump in here, and because I've given you them a lot to think about and you a lot to think about, and I'm gonna allow you to jump in as well. And then I'm going to come back because, of course, I'm always going to have you some solutions. But right now I'm going to give both Minister Tina and Minister Tuggle an opportunity to come on in the room and help bring out some case studies and some applications and some things that they know to be true. So come on, whichever one of you would like to go first, go right ahead.
I'll go.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Minister Tuggle.
Oh, no, you can go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Now, somebody okay. Better go in the name of Jesus.
Well, I did the opening prayer, so I'm just being fair, sister.
Amen.
Okay. Well, first off, I want to say I'm thankful for what my heart has took in and what my ears have heard on tonight. It is a very, very vital thing for people to understand that abuse comes in many, many, many different forms, many, many different ways to through male or female. But the first thing that we must look at when it comes to stuff like this, it is the family itself. We have a lot of people that are living, we have a lot of children that are living in one-parent homes, and we have a lot of children that are living in, whether it be with their mothers or their fathers, and the other parent is absent. That's where the foundation of the family, which God ordained from the very beginning, God ordained family.
Yes.
And because that ordaining of the family has been broken, this brings what Bishop Cook was talking about. It brings that because somewhere in the middle of the word family, that has been broken or that has been misconstrued. From the male perspective or from the female perspective. From the male perspective, excuse me, I know for myself that I'll use my father for example. My father taught every single one of his children how to work, how to, he told all his boys, love your wives. If you get into an altercation where it is a heated argument, one of you need to leave. One of you need to go for a walk. And that doesn't necessarily because you might hear, Minister Adams said leave, so I need to, the man needs to go. Because we see a lot of men, they walk out and they leave the mother or they leave the child and they don't come back anymore. And that's not what I'm saying. If you are in an altercation with your spouse or somebody that you are in a relationship with. I'm going to give you the advice that my father gave to me. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, the Bible says. What that means is that don't go to sleep mad at each other, because number one, you don't know what could take place throughout
That's
the night.
Right.
You, as the man, could, God could call you home, or God could call the wife home. And you don't want to leave that individual, or you don't want that individual leaving with regret. So you don't want that argument to be the last thing that they remember of y'all's marriage, whether it be the man or the woman. The second thing you want to do is, if you are in a heated argument, you want to separate. And what I mean by separate, one either goes to the other room and the other one goes to another room, cool down, or go for a walk or go for a drive until both of you have cooling down and able to come together and talk out the problem. Because that, when you do that, you not only get rid of domestic violence, but domestic violence won't even enter in the home. And as the head of the house, you as the man, you shouldn't want domestic violence or any type of violence coming near the person that you're with, if you love them or not. And even your children. You wouldn't want domestic violence, like Bishop Cook was saying, it affects the children. They're innocent bystanders. Before me and my wife got married, my father told me, I have three sons. Two of them are, I don't say it, but they are my stepsons, my two oldest. But I see all three of them as mine. But what my father told me was that they came into the marriage. When y'all chose to get married, they're innocent bystanders. They didn't ask for this. Just like a person doesn't ask to be born, they didn't ask to be in this. So if you have a heated argument, make sure that you, if you need to separate yourself for a while, separate for a while. Go pray. Go read the Bible. Go do something. If you're listening and you're not spiritual minded, go to the gym. There's gyms everywhere, and they have them at night. Planet Fitness is always open. You can go to the gym, work out a little bit, then come back and talk to your spouse. And it's not always for the man to leave. Sometimes if you're the woman in the relationship, or you're the wife in the marriage, sometimes leave the children with the man and go have a nice walk. But if this is what I was told. And there are a couple of times where I've done that because I didn't want me, and I told my wife a long time ago, we will not go to bed mad at each other.
Amen.
We can't. We won't. Why? Because I don't know what's going to happen throughout the night. The Lord could call me home. The Lord could call you home. I don't want no regret. If I leave off the face of this earth, I don't want you to be left with, we were in an argument. Or if you leave, mm-hmm. I don't want to be left with, I argue, the last thing I did is I argued with my wife. And that's the last memory I have of my wife. That is a shame. And that's what we have. And a lot of people, the reason why we have domestic violence is because a lot of people, when they're in a relationship, they go to sleep with all of this on them, and they wake up the next morning with it on them still. The problems that they were arguing about, they go to bed with it, they wake up with it. Then they go throughout the day with it. They go to work mad. Then it messes up the whole entire day. Then they come home, and then they're at it again. I'm done.
Now, we're fine, Minister Tuggle. That was good. That was really good food. And that's why I wanted you to be here, you know, because like you said, you're absolutely right. We, as I was saying earlier and as you reiterated so beautifully, we, especially as servant leaders, we must nurture, we must disciple the people of God in a way that promotes family, that promotes unity, that promotes reconciliation, that promotes grace. You know, so many times, you know what I mean? That's what we as servant leaders need to be doing, you know, and we should be calling it out. You know, like I said, we need to be holding the abusers accountable and responsible for their role in this, and we're supposed, and we should be letting the victims know that there is help. First of all, like I said, God is on the side of the oppressed, okay?
Yeah.
So, and so a lot of times, you know, when abuse is a pride thing. Like I said, it's not about being strong. It's about power and control. So that's a pride. It always comes from a place of pride. You know, I'm gonna manipulate this. I'm going to make sure I run this. It's my way or the highway. Well,
yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, no, it's really God's way or hell. That's what it really comes down to. So, and I want us to know that if you're called and sent, if you are an apostle serving in any capacity, because the word apostle means called and sent. So if you have been called and sent by God, your job is to be promoting, lifting up, and reminding families, stepping in with prayer, praying with families, teaching families how to pray together.
Yes.
Having resolution, you know, having plans of resolution, plans of action, as Minister Tuggle was talking about. You know, when you have things that you know, but first of all, you got to be real with yourself. You know?
Amen. Yes. Praise God.
We
got to
be real with ourselves. And we know when we, you know, if you know when somebody is beginning to get to you, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to just be, you know, we've got to get real with ourselves and we've got to get real with others. Minister Tina, take your time and come on in the room, dear. And we're going to circle back around.
Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. What a message we've had given to us tonight from the Holy Spirit. Wow, Apostle, that was great. And wow, Minister Tuggle, that was great. Just everything that you have said tonight rings true, you know? And we take it upon ourselves sometimes to get into our feelings opposed to getting to a solution or a resolution to the problem. We end up taking things personal when maybe somebody's going through something in a relationship. Maybe they don't know how to talk to the person, but we get into the feelings, and once we get into the feelings, then feelings are hurt, or as you say, there's pride that I want to admit, or what have you. But the children, you know how I am about the children. I was a child that witnessed abuse in my life from a very, very young age of 5 years old, from what I can remember, but it was happening before five. Abuse and what it does to a child's insides, let me tell you, is something that you don't ever want to do to a child. You don't ever want a child to feel scared like that, to feel intimidated like that, to feel helpless like that because somebody's hitting their parent and there's nothing you can do because you're too small. You don't ever want a child to have that in their memory because it never leaves them. Even as they get older, it's still there. So everything we do and say, not only do we remember as children, but we also mock what our parents do. So if our parents are fighting and hollering, or if our parents are striking each other, if our parents are calling each other names or what have you, then we're going to turn around, we're away from our parents, and we're going to do the same thing to other people because that's what we're taught That's what you're teaching your child, to be abusive. So therefore, when the child leaves the home, then the child goes to school or goes to what have you, a friend's house, outside to play, then they're going to be abusive. That's where the bullies come from. That's why kids get bullied, because the person that's bullying is getting abused at home. So if we don't bring God into our family and make God the foundation of our family, and we don't at least teach our children about Christ and what Christ did for us, they will always feel guilty. They'll feel blame in some way because their parents have taught them to be this way. For us to keep doing this in our lives is really a shame and sad for us, because we don't realize the damage we're doing to our children, especially when the children are quiet and scared because they don't want to say anything. They don't want to get involved. They're too small. We have to be accountable, as you always say, Apostle, accountable, accountable for ourselves and our actions. If we need help, then we need to go get help. If we need to go get help because we have anger issues, we're angry with whatever's inside our spirit, then we need to go get help for ourselves. We can't keep pointing fingers and playing the blame game. We have to step up and be accountable to God by being accountable for ourselves. We're not accountable for ourselves, then there's no coming back from that. It's always going to be the same thing over and over, especially in a household where there's no love and there's no Christ. You can completely tell when a house has no love and no Christ. Right when you walk in, you can feel it as the day is long. And a child, their impression in their mind is so fragile at their ages that we need to definitely do something to change that. They need to have a happy life. They need to learn about the Lord and learn about love. Love is the best of everything. Love heals and conquers everything. But if we don't have love in our life, then we don't know what that is. So it's our duty as adults to take it upon ourselves and say, you know what? I am wrong. I need to go check myself out, as far as go to a therapist or maybe go to church and talk to a pastor and say, hey, you know what? I don't know what to do with these feelings. These feelings are consuming me, and they're allowing me to act out in a way that I don't feel good for doing that. But, man, I get so mad. I don't know what to do with my anger. Well, like Ben Scartago said, go to the gym. Do something that helps clear your spirit of that noise and that nonsense. It is our duty to be accountable for our behavior. Now, when somebody else is coming at us in a way that is not serving to God, as Minister Tuttle said, and as Apostle said, then we need to remove ourselves in a way to stop it right there in its tracks. Otherwise, it's never going to stop. It's just like a vicious circle, like a hamster on the wheel, and you're going to go, go, go till someone falls off, someone gets hurt, or worse yet. So Jesus is the way.
Yes.
We need to start walking closer with Jesus and bringing Christ into our homes and teaching our children how to love and not hate.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. Now, you know, we always come here. We do not come to entertain, or, you know, there's no ratings or anything. We come to equip, to instruct, to empower. These programs are not designed to condemn or to judge, but to help. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you are in an abusive relationship right now, I'm going to share with you some things that you can do, whether you be male or female. First of all, you need to make sure that you and your children are always physically safe. If you are in immediate danger, please pick up the phone and call 911. Two. If you are in an abusive relationship, you need to know, always remember and keep before you, that you are not responsible for the abuse. Abuse is always the responsibility of the person who is doing the abusing. Okay?
Amen. Yes.
And you need to we also need to understand that abuse and violence will continue if you do not get intervention. Okay, So you must at the first signs, you know, begin to seek out that help. And the way you do that is by telling someone. You need to always tell someone that you trust about the abuse. And then, you know, and then choose someone who will believe you. Because, see, one thing about abusers, they like to use that isolation, you see. See, secrecy gives abusers power. So when you tell somebody, hallelujah, you're shining the light of truth on it, and you're already gaining some power to make that situation better. And then you need to find out more about what what abuse is and what abuse is not. Okay? Because there are some guidelines. Having an occasional disagreement is not abuse. Okay? But you really need to know what a healthy relationship what they should look like. And I tell people all the time, if you pattern the kind of relationships with people after the kind of relationship that you want Christ, you and Christ to have, then you can't go wrong. But you also need to find out what help is out there available to you. And then if you need to get professional help, like Minister Tina said, get you some professional help. You need to look after you, and because you need to look after yourself. You know, when things get difficult, you need to go find some things, like Minister Tuggle and Minister Tina said. Go find something to do to give you some joy. You know, go out and do something that's going to clear your head. And then sometimes all you need to do is spend time around some healthy people. You know, some real disciples of Christ, so they can help disciple you. And encourage you and pray with you and pray for you and pray for your partner. Now, there's six things I'd like for you to consider if there's kids in the home. Because it's a little, you know, that now you can do the things that I just, the last nine things I said, you can do that whether you're male, female, any, you know, you can do that. But if you have kids, you got to think of the safety and the best interest of your children first. And then you might want to take that extra step and get some legal advice, okay, about custody, maintenance issues, you know, all of that. You know where you stand, you know. And then you got to tell the children in your home. You got to encourage your children, reassure your children. Let your children know that even though the adults in the house might not get along, that those children are not to blame. Because, see, when there are children in the home, children have a way of making everything their fault. So you do not want to perpetuate that violence onto your children, the shame, none of that onto your kids. So you want to tell your children that no matter what, they are loved, and do everything in your power to expose your children to healthy relationships. Make sure, you know, take to them to let them be around other children in the church, you know, and let them see other loving relationships between adults. You know, the body of Christ is a good place for that. I'm talking about true believers here now, true believers. Hallelujah. And then while your children is going through this, you should try to find things to do to help them to succeed. Okay? Because it's really important that your kids feel as safe as possible. And speaking about that, and speaking of safety, you know, I said earlier that sometimes, you know, leaving an abusive relationship is a process and not an event. And part of that process should be safety planning, you know? Yeah. If you are in an abusive relationship, make a safety plan. You know, plan, you know, tell people that you trust. You know, let them know about the custody and no contact orders, everything that's going on. You know, like I said, let people that you know and trust and love and know that they love and trust you, you know, what you can trust with your information. Let them, you know, tell them. And then have you some places to go if you need to leave in a hurry. You know, check out some places that are open 24 hours so that you know where you might could call for help. You know, if you're going to somebody's home, plan that. And but when you're planning that, don't go somewhere where your abuser will think to look. You know, have your children memorize emergency numbers. Find out, learn how to erase phone numbers from call displays. And then you might want to pack you a small emergency bag, but put it in a place where only you know where it's at and where you know it can be left and you can trust, you know, you can trust the person. Leave it with a friend or somebody that you know you can trust. But inside of that bag, you need to have you some cash, health care cards, important documents, driver's license, passports, prescriptions. You need to have you a set of keys. You need to have any copies of your no contact orders, all that. Have that all packed up in a bag. If your partner is stalking or harassing you, you need to report this to the police.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to document. Okay? And if you have children, make sure that you instruct them about the safety plan. Let them know whom they should call. Let them have code words for them so that you know, they will know that it's safe. Amen. So, you know, we just have to look to the Lord in all that we do and how we govern ourselves. Abuse, violence is never okay with God, whether you be a man abusing your wife, a wife abusing her husband, either mother or father abusing your children. You cannot continue in this manner and think that God will not take you to task, because he will. Now, once again, I have said there are others of you sitting in the studio and in the chat room. If there's anyone, and we have some time left, if anyone that's sitting in the chat room or the studio would like to have a word, you can. But I'm going to circle back. Minister Tina or Minister Tuggle, you know, you might have some other things, other safety tips or other things that you would like, can think of that you might want to share with our listeners. So you're more than welcome to chime in anytime once again as well.
I like what you said, Apostle, about having a plan and making sure you have a bag packed and put away in a safe place somewhere, because that is important, because when the time comes, there's no time to think.
Right.
That is a very good idea.
Amen. Amen. I just praise God, because we just have to know, you know, the only way that we overcome hatred is with the love of Christ. The only way that we can have peace, hallelujah, is in Christ. The only way, the one sure way that we can have joy is in Christ. Hallelujah. So when we remember to share our love of Christ with others, no matter where we go, we can be, you know, we will be encouraging them all the more, because there are people that go into churches, they are in Zoom meetings, they are walking down the street every day, and they are victims of abuse. They are silent. They are ashamed. They are afraid. And I believe if more of us that truly love the Lord would just be so less inclined to hurry to speak and take more time to listen, not just with our ears, but with our eyes, which means we take the time to actively listen to people, we might help, hallelujah, people be delivered from the stigma of being violated and the sin of being a violator. So, you know, it's really, really important if we as believers in true believers in God, we are always going to promote love. We are always going to encourage others to be edified and to lift up. The body of Christ is not about tearing down, but we have to start addressing it. Just because we don't talk about abuse in the pulpit doesn't make it go away. And I'm going to tell you, servant leaders, for everything that, you know, there is, if you do not address the whole man of God, then you are not truly doing your job. Because the whole point of the body of Christ, the church, is that we are a hospital. We are supposed to help those, minister to those who are broken. We are to create an atmosphere where every man, woman, boy, and girl can feel loved and feel safe and feel accepted. We must let those who are going through know there is help. And that is what gives honor and brings glory to God. So I pray that this second part of this forum has blessed somebody. It, like I said, we just want you to know some signs, be aware.
Bishop.
Yes, Minister Tuttle.
Can I say something real quick that just
yes,
the Lord dropped in my spirit?
Go ahead.
I want to speak to the preachers. There are some preachers that will tell people that are in these situations, whether they're married, and especially if they're married, to stick it out. God, if you're married, the Lord does not ordain divorce. Let me tell you something. God does not ordain divorce. He doesn't. But he also does not ordain abuse either. And because it's just like when we're his, and I give this example, and this is the best example I can give. When God is coming back for his bride, we know this, when the rapture takes place, he's coming back for his bride. After the rapture takes place starts the tribulation. We all know this. The tribulation is for people that has not accepted Christ, that are not in the bride of Christ. If God did not love his bride, and if God wanted to bring harm to his bride, he would leave them in the tribulation. Now, just as well as God loves his bride and does not want no harm to come to his bride, God does not want that person to be in that relationship or in that marriage being abused. Now, if you are saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled, you already know God does not ordain divorce. But there are some stipulations other than cheating that God does say put away. And abuse is one of them.
Yes,
because
it sure is.
God does not ordain for you to be abused. God
That's
does
right.
not ordain for somebody to be beat on. God does not ordain for somebody to be, ridiculed and all of this stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not love. And mm-hmm. I tell my boys all the time, show the way you love, show your mother the way you love her. Just don't talk about it. Show her,
yeah.
And I say that to the men and the women.
If you love me, show me. If you love me, show me. And love is not love. If you really love somebody, you're going to do all you can to protect them, to nurture them, to, and if you're putting your hands on, you're going to put them, you're going to put your hands on them in love, not
that's
in
right.
striking them. So I say to the preachers that say stick it out, and you know that this person is being abused, they come to church with marks on them, and you're saying, oh, sister, it's okay. That brother loves you. He ain't cheating on you, so you
love
can't leave.
Hurt.
The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar.
So now,
and the truth ain't
love
you.
Don't hurt.
Yes. Amen.
Love
truth,
does not hurt. Love does not
love
hurt.
Does not.
Love does not
Jesus.
Hurt. And I'm going to say that until the Lord called me back home. And he is absolutely right. But we all, you know, and the other thing I want to say to the women, that and the other pathology, pathology that comes when, you know, from violence. A lot of times mothers who are abused will turn around and abuse their children. It starts a chain reaction. That's what sin does. It starts a chain reaction. And what we have to understand is God is not pleased when those of us see it. We see it, whether we be preachers or not, and we say nothing. Nothing.
Yes. Yes.
You know, silence is a killer. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I have noticed one thing, when women are 75% that are abusers, are 75% more likely to kill their spouse. So, sisters, men, you know, and I'm saying this is, it doesn't matter. You know, we have to understand women can be just as dangerous as men because abuse is not about strength, you know. And this attitude with treating men like they're less than men, because they don't decide, a woman hits him and he decides not to go up beside her head. Come on, that don't make him less of a man. That makes him more of a man, because a real man would never lay his hands on a woman in anger. Never. So like I said, we got to start helping to change these attitudes in society. You know, we really do. Because abuse is abuse as abuse.
Thank you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Abuse is abuse is abuse, and nobody deserves to be abused. God loves us so much that he didn't even withhold, he loved us so much that he didn't even withhold his only son, his only begotten son, so that we could be in relation, a loving relationship with him. So every time, you know, so let us all walk and teach and disciple in a way that promotes family, that promotes love, that promotes peace, that promotes reconciliation, that promotes grace and mercy, that promotes unity. And while you're going through these situations, do be careful of who you listen to. Like my young brother just said, you know what I'm saying? Because all preachers aren't telling you that, you know, they're telling you their opinion. They're not telling you the word.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
And like I said, and some of the, and women are guilty of doing it too. You know, some women will go to their servant leaders and say, my husband, you know, they see the woman with a black eye, or, you know, she wearing sunglasses in December, okay? And, you know, and she says something to the pastor, and what they do is go back to the dude and say, oh, yeah, your wife came in my office today. Man, you can't be leaving marks on her, man. You know, these attitudes have to stop.
We are supposed to walk in love side by side in a loving relationship with Christ and with others. And if you can't do that, I'm going to tell you what God loves. You need to be by yourself, okay? Yes, you do. Hallelujah. But this is not being said out of condemnation or judgment. We just want you to know, you know, how can people be healed if we don't even address their issue? You know, a lot of preachers love to talk about alcoholism. They talk about fornicating and adultery. They love to go through all of them, you know. But then they won't say a word about family or domestic violence. You know, sin is sin, and God hates it all. And so if you're sitting out there tonight within the sound of our voice, and maybe you have maybe you have been abused, you've been misused, you've been lied on, you've been mistreated. My brother and sister and I, we want you to know there is help for you. First and foremost, all you need to do is fall on your knees and take that situation to the Lord. All you have to do is trust and believe that God is able.
Yes.
To do with a situation that what you might not can do. Talk to the Lord. He will lead you and he will direct you and he will guide you. We want you to know that he loves you so much. He did not create you to be abused. He did not create you to endure pain or humiliation. He created us to be in a loving relationship with him and worship him and love one another. And if you are the abuser, there's good news for you. Jesus loves you so much that he died for you too. All you need to do is repent, and you need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you. Ask God to help you heal whatever that hurt is in you, whatever that anger is in you. Maybe you were abused as a child. Maybe all you've ever been around is abuse. Maybe your whole environment is, you know, you are hopeless, helpless, and now you're hapless. But there's hope for you too. Jesus is the cure for whatever ails you. And if you don't know him in the pardon of your sin, we've come to tell you tonight that it is not too late. If you are within the sound of our voices here tonight, you have time to go. You can stop right now and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin, for I believe that you are the Son of the living God. Come into my life and save me and teach me your ways so that I might become more and more like you. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. And just like that, you are on your way to deliverance. You are being delivered. You are being restored. You are being transformed. Hallelujah. By the blood of and the word of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father God, we just come right now in the name of Jesus. I just thank you right now for my dear brother, Minister Tuggle, and for my dear sister, Minister Tina Brown, for coming out tonight and just you having your way, Lord. I praise you, Father God, for their heart set. Hallelujah, for your people in all things. I praise you, Father God, for every servant leader that is not afraid to tackle the hard issues, oh God. Because, Lord, how can people be delivered? How can they be healed, Lord God? How can they be restored if we don't address the violence that may be in their homes? If we don't address the abuse that our eyes may see? If we will not speak out with boldness according to your holy word? So, Lord, we come lifting up every abuser and every victim of abuse tonight, Lord God. We pray that they would turn their hearts to you, Lord, that they would lay this situation down on your mercy seat, Lord, and that they would truly trust you and believe you, God, when you say you can do all things but fail. And Lord, I pray that you continue to pour into these mighty servant leaders that are present. Lord, bless their personal ministries. Bless their church homes, Lord God. Bless Pastor and First Lady Tuggle. Hallelujah. I just pray, Lord God, that you just bless the works of their hands always, and may it always be multiplied, pressed down, shaken together until running over. And Lord, we just thank you for everything that you're doing here at the Spirit Alive Ministry. We pray for our listeners, oh God. We pray that someone, Lord, has heard a word that has helped them, Lord, that has helped prepare them, Lord, to exit that abusive relationship, that has given them the resolve, Lord God, to just stand on your word and what you have declared and decreed. Lord, we're just so thankful. And we just thank you for giving our dear brother, Minister Tuggle, another birthday on the other day, Father God. We just praise you and we glorify you and we thank you for it all. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well,
amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you, Minister Tuggle.
Hallelujah.
You
have indeed.
Beautiful program.
Yes, Lord, you have all been listening to Daughters of Naomi with my wonderful, beautiful co-host, hallelujah, Minister Tina Brown and Minister Adam Tuggle, hallelujah. These two, you know, and I just praise, once again, I just want to thank you two again. I want to thank all of you for listening, and we just pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network on tomorrow, Thursday, you can join Pastor Vanessa Carver for Wounded No More, and she right now is teaching the perfect series, hallelujah, that goes along with this. God just has everything flowing together because she is teaching right now about healing through forgiveness. Hallelujah. So if you listen to this program, tomorrow's program will make this program even richer for you. So, and then on Saturday, you can always hear Minister Adam Tuggle on the Summit. He airs at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we have been blessed by the teachings of this young man. And of course, you will find Minister Tina Brown, hallelujah, right by my side on the Spirit of Law, on the Spirit of Law Praise and Worship Experience, Daughters of Naomi, and Wounded No More. So we just praise God for all the beautiful and wonderful servant leaders here. We praise God for all of you. So we pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to your household. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Daughters of Naomi and the Spirit Alive Network. Have a blessed week, the rest of the week, everyone. Good night, my dear brother and sister. I love you.
Good night. I love you. Thank you so much.
Bless
you both. God bless you. Bye-bye.